This is Fabrice Lapeltrie for Creative Disturbance Project Pioneers and Pathbreakers channel. I'm a French art historian and my guest is the British curator, writer and researcher Branek Ferran. We are today with the artist Lillian Lin.
We were talking about the effect of kinetic art on the brain. So Lillian, can you tell us more about your own work?
Well, on the whole, people comment on the work. So when people speak about the effect of my work on their brain, because obviously you can only understand the effect of your work on other people's brains by what they say and how they react.
Mm-hmm.
They say that my work is very calming. People say they could just sit and look at it all day. You know, they say, oh, you know, once I start, I can't go away. Very often people say that. They say they feel it's hypnotic or something like that. My intention is basically to I wouldn't say force or use a word like that. I would rather say attract, you know, to encourage or attract people to focus. Because I think focusing is extremely important. I think we are constantly unfocused by enormous frequency of stimuli that we're exposed to in our culture. So my intentions are basically to focus so that you, when you focus and concentrate, you create a kind of barrier to the millions of stimuli and you concentrate on whatever you are actually focusing on.
Et pensez-vous alors que l'émergence de la cybernétique et la volonté des scientifiques de comprendre le fonctionnement du cerveau a aidé les artistes justement à s'orienter vers ce type d'œuvre où on cherche justement à canaliser l'attention des spectateurs sans forcément les manipuler, mais en essayant de les canaliser pour qu'eux-mêmes se sentent un peu plus libérés, entre guillemets.
The artists?
Yes.
Se sont libérés. C'est les artistes qui se sont libérés. I can't say for other people. I can really only speak for myself. But basically, I became interested in science in the early 60s. At first, because I thought what I read fascinated me, but also I found it very poetic. I found that the essence of poetry was in a scientific text. New words, different ways of looking at reality, you know, completely different ways. So that was an area that interested me. Now, I didn't focus on neuroscience, you know. My interest was mainly in physics and in astronomy. So I couldn't say that I was influenced by a scientific in research into the brain at the time, anyway. But I think it was more to do with my inner needs. See, I think as an artist, I think I was very much involved in research, curiosity, invention. So most of my work basically is, I found, because I'm also in a sense a self-taught artist, I studied history of art, I studied archaeology,
mm-hmm.
Also at the Sorbonne and at the École du Louvre. I didn't go to an art school. So I approached art from a different direction. And also I was extremely lucky in that I went to Paris when I was 18, and was immediately immersed in the art world because a very good friend of mine who also came to Paris at the same time as I did, her mother was a surrealist painter.
Who?
Manina.
Okay.
So Manina was a surrealist painter who was married to Alain Jouffroy.
Okay.
I mean, the first exhibition I went to in Paris was Marcel's. That was the first exhibition I saw. No, I'd seen shows before, but I mean, it was the first vernissage that I went to. And I immediately met a lot of artists who were professional artists. And so a lot of my, if you like, training came through crits made by artists who were already professional. And who just by chance and through friendship would come to my, where I lived. I called it a studio, but it wasn't really a studio, an apartment where I was painting at the time I was painting, and make comments, you know, drawing, painting. So I think the first three-dimensional work that I did that you could call kinetic, which was I made in 1958, actually, when I was 18, was to take a jigsaw puzzle, a big jigsaw puzzle, take it apart, paint every single element of the puzzle differently, and then try to put it together.
Okay.
I don't know if that's kinetic, though.
Yeah. It's combination.
Yeah. Well, it's impossibility, because you can't put it together. You have no clues.
Mm-hmm. And did you try to... at the time, to contact or the scientist? Did you have a contact with scientists?
Later. I tried, yeah, without success.
Okay.
Well, I did have one success, except I have a very bad memory of her names. I could find out his name. He was actually he wasn't a physicist. He was a biologist, and one of the people who worked on, who found the DNA.
Oh.
I'm not sure whether he was part of the Nobel Prize, because, you know, there were a few who didn't get the Nobel Prize but were working on it. But he knew Watson and Crick.
Watson and Crick, yes.
It wasn't Watson and Crick. It was a colleague of theirs who I had a long correspondence with.
So this is Brona Ferran picking up the conversation with Lillian Lin, and asking her about when she arrived in Paris and very quickly became an artist.
Very quickly became an artist. No, I didn't become an artist so quickly. I was studying history of art and archaeology. At the same time, I met a great many artists. I definitely wanted to be an artist, and I had already started painting before I went to Paris. So I knew that I had to study somehow, do my own research, do my own way. And of course, I did do some kind of educational classes. I went to some of the studios. But I think the most, as I said, the most important influences I had at the time were from surrealist artists, Dada and surrealists. Now then, I met people like surrealists were people like Max Ernst or Toyen, or whom I actually met, Manina, although she wasn't a great influence on me pictorially, because I wasn't really that interested in the romantic side of surrealism. I was more interested perhaps in the Dada side of surrealism. And I found Duchamp very interesting right away. The first time I ever saw his work, I found it extremely interesting and really was drawn towards it. Then I met Tanguy, Yves Klein, Takis, people like Bai and quite a few Italian artists, and generally speaking, a great many artists, because I was right in the middle of Paris.
How easy was it to meet other artists at that time?
Oh, very easy. It was very easy because, you know, I basically, my best friend Nina Torin, mother was a surrealist painter, and we were invited to the cafe, the Surrealist Cafe, So we would go there, and you know, I met André Breton and many other people, Joyce Mansour, the poet. And then her, one of her very good friends was Jean-Jacques Lebel, and so I met him, and then he became my boyfriend, actually, and for about 6 months, 7 months. But he was an extremely difficult person to relate to on an effective level. So that didn't last. But he was an interesting person, and his ideas about art and poetry. I mean, I think the thing I liked very much about Jean-Jacques was his idea that you could be a painter and a poet and also get involved in politics at the same time. Leaving out the politics, because personally I had very bad experiences with the left wing, his left wing friends, who I found totally fascistic, particularly towards women. I became very interested in the whole idea. I mean, I was attracted by the idea of both writing and making art. So I didn't really know which way to go, because my interests lay in both areas. And from a very early age, I'd been working, you know, I'd been writing poetry, I'd been writing stories, I was the editor of a school magazine, things like that. And I always had thought of myself as becoming either a writer or a journalist, something like that. Not actually a painter. And the reason I went towards the visual as opposed to the oral, if you like, was because I changed language at the age of 14. And so when I changed language and spoke Italian, although I still spoke English, it wasn't as fluent and as rich as it could have been had I stayed in the States and gone to university, which I would have done.
So this whole area of movement and fluidity and moving between states and creating a kind of a lightness in that movement is, for me, quite characteristic of your practice now. That's you are recognized increasingly as a pioneer in this area between light, movement, language, and some kind of, there's sometimes an object as well within it. So in some ways it's quite a long way from painting.
Oh,
can you tell
definitely.
Us a little bit about how you moved from the pictorial to this other way of working, which you started doing in the early 60s?
Yes. Okay. In 59, I first started by drawing and painting, and then what happened was that I realized I couldn't really draw. And so I started to teach myself to draw. And actually an Italian artist, whose name was Bertini, showed me a very interesting technique of resist, using resist, which was very similar to the Max Ernst technique of frottage. And I started using that and drawing the sort of visions that I had. And I was very, my imagination was very, very strong, and I was very visionary. I still am. I mean, that's something that, except that I don't hallucinate as much as I used to. But basically, I have a visionary talent, if you like. I see things where other people don't see them. And at one point, I got so good at drawing. In the beginning, it was kind of rough, but as I did it for nearly a year, I became so good at this that I got bored. And I started looking for a different way. And also Iris Claire, who Takis was saying, I was living with Takis at that time, and Iris Claire said, Takis said to Iris Claire, why don't you show Lillian's work? And Iris, who actually didn't like women, said, well, I would, but she's drawing. You know, I can't sell drawings. So maybe she did it on canvas. That would be okay. So I tried to do it on canvas. Of course, it didn't work. So then I started thinking, oh, I'll try some other materials. So what happened is that, as I said, I was experimenting with different materials. because I was told that no way could I sell these drawings, and so I started off by experimenting to make the drawings on some other material, on another surface, right? And then, of course, I became interested in surfaces. So what happened was the last surface that I played with was plastic, but I became interested in the plastics. And I was in New York at the time. It was sort of late 1960, I think. And I was in New York, and I was going to Canal Street, also with Takis, because he was collecting materials on Canal Street. And I found this huge plastic factory down there. And I just started buying small pieces of plastic and burning them. So I started by using fire and originally burning the material to understand what happened when it burned. You know, did it shrivel up? Did it drip? Did it become molten? You know, this sort of thing. Did it just go all black? You know, so different plastics did different things. The key thing was that my interest, instead of expressing myself or playing with if you like, materials, with drawing and hallucinations or visions or whatever, I became interested in the material itself, and in a sense, that became a kind of research. You know, how will this material behave? You know, when I say that, I sort of think, well, that's also the way I drew. You know, so it didn't change that much, actually, because I was always interested in that. But it became more, if you like, more pure research. There was no imagery attached. Right? So. At a certain point, I mean, I went from one thing to another, and I started doing these pieces like that one. I only have one left, where I found this extraordinary stick called a Teffel stick, and it was Austrian, actually. And it was made for skiers to wax their skis, but it wasn't wax, it was plastic. And it was, for convenience, it was like a candle, it had a wick. And you just lit it. And I got that from an Olympic skier. And so then I would order them. And what I did was I'd lit it, and then I would vibrate it in the air, and I could create the finest lines with it, and then see how these lines sort of moved onto the, fell onto the surface. And I tried all kinds of surfaces, wood. But then I found that Perspex was the best, clear Perspex. And so I would put these on a shelf, look at them, and when I looked at them, I realized that as I moved, these lines moved. And when the light was on them, they were double. And so the whole thing had a double. So you had the line on the surface and the shadow at the back. And the distance between that line and that shadow increased the movement. Mm. So I became very interested in that, and that was the way I started making what you might call kinetic art, but also working with light.